Yo, 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 welcome to Crate 808, and today it is another little sneak peek into what we're doing over at our Patreon, where you can help go and support us, keep making this dope rap content for you, patreon.com/crate808. On there, as you regular listeners know, we have got stuff on MF Doom, the Wu-Tang Clan, Jay Dilla, and much, much more, including 19's Hidden Gem rap reviews, as well as Naughty's rap reviews, where the Patreons can come on and vote, and we dig into some classics from that decade. And here are a few clips on exactly that kind of thing. We dig into Common's classic Like Water for Chocolate from the year 2000, and another bona fide underground classic, Deltron 3030, self-titled album as well, Deltron 3030. For the people who don't know, Deltron 3030 is a rap supergroup. It is made up of Del the Funky Homo Sapien, producer Dan the Automator, and DJ Kid Koala. So first up, let's dig into Common's, probably his best album, with some incredible guests. It is E from the Next Movement podcast, and Def C, rapper, educator, all that good stuff in the hot seats. Check this out, and the full episode, check the show notes, it's right there. Boom. Should this album be in Crate 808, like our Hall of Fame? And if so, why? Why would you say?
I would make an argument for it. Yeah. For me, this album is really special because there's so much blackness like included in it, right? Like through the production, through the lyricism, through the way the lyricism is delivered. It's literally a timeline of Black history, both in terms of music and also just in terms of our culture and traditions. It's interesting. We talked about this album on our show with our guest Meticulous, and I expressed the same sentiments. I just think it's one of those albums that belongs in the Hall of Fame because of what it brings to the table. And also, if you think about hip hop and the foundations of hip hop and what it's rooted in, I mean, this is a perfect album that speaks to that.
Mm, that's so perfectly put. I hate to interrupt that line of thinking because Def C has just jumped in as well with us. Oh. But I'm going to definitely jump on that thread with you.
Yeah.
Def, how are you doing, man?
I'm great. E, I did not know that you were joining this episode. This is amazing.
Surprise. Oh,
did I not put that in the message? Sorry, bro. I'm sorry.
All good. It's all good. This is a happy surprise. This is a very good surprise. E is the home.
Yeah. And we've been trying to get E on, so I'm really happy to do this chat. Def C on board. People, do go check out the music. Do go check out our other episodes we've got with Def. We've got one coming up as well soon. But I was going to say, Def, we were talking about Like Water for Chocolate, year 2000, Common. E just made a very, very good case about like why this album, if it should be in our Hall of Fame, which is like Crate 808, should it be in Crate 808, and why it should, and, you know, why would you put it in there? And E's argument was amazing. E, I don't want to tread over your words, but please do, if you could, repeat it for Def so he understands where you were coming from.
Yeah, no doubt. So what I said was that for me, this album just encompasses so much blackness, so much black history, both in, you know, a musical sense, but also literal history, you know, based on what Common is saying. So, I mean, from the production to the lyricism to the way the lyricism is delivered, you know, I just feel like it's a timeline of Black history and it's a celebration of Black history. I mean, even the cover, which I think we'll dig into, you know, so it's just a special album for me.
Mm. Could I just pull that thread a little bit where you were saying, it's even the way it's rapped. We have a rapper in our midst right now that I'd love to hear your point of view on his rapping on this album. But there are moments where I've not linked it to blackness or that as the way he is styling, the way he is bringing different things to it. I never knew really the thinking behind it, rather than this is his breakthrough, this is him hitting a kind of apex on the mic at a point where he was just so confident and assured, and there was a swagger, so he was trying things. But I love where you've put it, where it's actually the lineage of that community and the art behind that community is coming bubbling up, boiling up in that aspect in this album. I love that. I actually love that.
Yeah.
Mm. Def C, what were you saying, man? What do you think, Def, to this album, what are you saying?
I mean, I was actually fortunate enough to meet Common in August at No Name's Block Party.
Mm.
And I was able to tell him that this was the first album I bought with my own money. the edited version, obviously, because I was like 9 or 10 years old, but it was the first album I ever bought with my own money. I was able to tell Calm that, which was
a surreal
thing, which, yeah, it was awesome.
How was he?
I mean, the same person he is on records, you know, like very laid back, very humble, very, you know, like just, I think, very receptive to what it was. You know, he's got a pretty good reputation in Chicago for a reason, you know, and I think he's a genuine guy, very good hearted. And obviously, if No Name brought him out for a surprise set at her block party. So nobody knew he was going to do a set. Everybody just figured he was going to rock his verse from the album. And then she brought him back out to do a whole set. And I'd never seen Calm perform before. So it was like, he's a very, very, very good live performer. Wow. Very good. Very talented guy. So, I mean, as far as this album is concerned, I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of, how do I not tell you to put this in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
For Crate 808. And also just in terms of it being a time capsule of that particular period in hip hop and music. So, because it was created, I believe, the sessions for Voodoo by D'Angelo, Mama's Gun by Erykah Badu, and Things Fall Apart by The Roots. And then this album, we're running at the same time. So like Chicken Grease, which is a song on Voodoo, was supposed to be on this album. And instead, Calm traded it for Ghetto Heaven Part 2, which was supposed to be on Voodoo. But like, I think that's, it's beautiful for that reason. I think it's one of the best produced hip hop albums ever. I think what Dilla and Questlove and James Poyser were able to bring to the table as far as molding the sound of the record is incredible. And Calm is interesting because I think I was just listening back to it today. I think that there's a really interesting shift that happens about halfway through the record where it goes from being like a Soulquarians record that Calm is, I think it like time traveling reprise.
Round number 8.
It's kind of where it breaks up. And then the second half is like a common album produced by the Soulquarians. So like, it's really cool to be able to hear those two sides of Common on that record. I think that he's doing things on there as well. Like I totally forgot that a film called Pimp had MC Light on it. So I was re-listening to it, like cringing, just kind of waiting for it to be like, have aged worse than anything else on the album. And then to have MC Light, especially in the year 2000, come on a song like that and essentially out pimp a man on that record.
Yeah.
Like they're essentially battling like that was kind of ahead of its time. And, you know, Calm's obviously got misogynist and homophobic lyrics on the record, I think, which is also a mark of its time and part of what I, in my opinion, means that the rapping doesn't hold up as well. In addition to, you know, some of the pop culture references on the record too are very like the year 2000 heavy. And then, but you know, he also sums it up in a bar on Nag Champa where he said, by Rakim and Short, I'm inspired. He's a man of like a lot of different contrasting perspectives. And I think they all come to light on this album. Yeah. And just as a 10-year-old, like remembering, cause I got it because I saw the Sixth Sense video on Rap City.
Huge.
And so like to the extent I was so young when I saw it that I didn't even know that the revolution will not be televised was a phrase coined by Gil Scott-Heron. Like I thought it was,
you thought it was Calm.
I thought it was Common. I thought it was some Common. So like, I remember seeking that record out and being like, wait a minute, this is not what I saw on BET.
Yeah. they lied to me. And yeah.
But yeah, no, nah, it's, I mean, it's, it is, it's a very beautiful, very human, very, you know, time traveling is probably the perfect way to describe the sound of it too. It's a really good record, really, mm-hmm. really good record. And, I think it deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Love that. I love that. You guys have kind of just crossed over all the points. I think, before we go anywhere.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. I mean, this is a very soulful album for me. This production is very soulful. I mean, I often think that about, you know, Dilla's work in particular, but to me, like the criticism that, you know, an album like this wouldn't appeal to somebody because it's maybe not hard as folks are used to, like if you're, you know, using the Woo comparison. But I'm coming back to like my point about like the roots of hip hop, like the culture that it came from. How could you not have a soulful album like this in the mix? You know what I mean? So it's just different folks, you know, engage with music in different ways, you know, so I get it, but it's just like, how could people write this out of the conversation considering the history of the culture? It's odd to me, you know?
No. To piggyback off of that real quick, just because I had a thought, right? Like, Payback is a grandmother isn't a hard-ass song. Thelonious isn't a hard-ass song.
Thelonious isn't a hard-ass song.
Right.
Heat, Cold-Blooded, yeah. Doing It. Those aren't hard-ass songs.
Yeah.
I get the out of here,
yeah, this is what I mean. This is
that's
what I mean.
Crazy.
But this is what I mean. The hardcore hip hop scene was like, I almost think, and I don't want to label anyone in certain ways, but it does feel like to me people took what they wanted from this music and then just kind of dismissed a lot of it. And I've always on this show and just in my life just generally been like, well, no, it's all part of the same text. You're all reading from the same text, right? And you just can't take one piece and not have the context of the rest of the piece. But then it just completely show what you mean about how could you not have an album like this? Because I was thinking of I was just thinking it is like musical gumbo. This album, you have Chicago, obviously. You also have your Detroit coming in. And I was like, but then you have Philly and you have New York with Primo on there as well. Essential, like prerequisite New York, if you knew anything about New York hip hop. And then you have like Dallas in there as well, and like maybe Atlanta. All these kind of things all mixing to achieve this album that I can't remember. Before this in the 90s, did this many sounds and this many people from so many different places come together for an album of, you know, of kind of such a, I hate the word cohesive, but it all sounds as one. It doesn't, even when you hear Sixth Sense, you know, okay, that's the outlier a little bit, but it kind of fits still nicely in the album.
Yeah. That's a good point, Cam, like just the gumbo analogy that you used, because I said soulful, but it's so many things. I hear rock in here. I hear jazz in here. I hear gospel in here. I hear so many different things. And yeah, to what Duff C said, there are tracks on here that I would consider hard. I think it's people defining hard in different ways and interpreting that in different ways, which feels really transactional to me, like in terms of their listening to hip hop and just defining, just like putting it in this like very small box.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And yeah, we've got some categories I did want to go into with you on this album as well. But I thought I just want to talk about Common quickly as well, just as an artist, because we haven't really really focused on his work in the grand scheme of our 90s hip hop, where it's kind of mad, where we've been doing this podcast for so long. But he is a kind of, a chameleon, but like someone who kind of goes, he doesn't chase trends. He's not Madonna. He's not doing that. But what he does do for me is shapeshift when the time needed it. And I'll always remember the Lauryn Hill single. No, it's death without our creed, with no one else to blame. I had a book of African names. Case our mind saying, just say your period as it came. And lately I've been sleepy, so quit smoking the weed and the beaties and let's have this boy. when that came out, that changed my mind of this Common who did I Love Her. I used to love her.
You know why he's such a chameleon? He's from Chicago. He is from Chicago.
Interesting.
Rappers from the Midwest generally, and I think from Chicago specifically, do a lot of, first of all, we're at the intersection of the country, just like historically, Chicago was what the Panama Canal is to like North America, Central America, South America. Chicago is to the United States as a country. That was like, you know, there's the Carl Sandburg poem about Chicago with the famous line about, you know, freight bearer to the world. Like Chicago is at the intersection of, is the only major city of the, you know, three major cities in the United States that's situated between New York and Los Angeles and Atlanta and Texas. And, you know, like everything comes through here, and music is one of those things. And it's also a city that doesn't really have a music industry. So it forces a lot of us to kind of expand outside of the city to go find like-minded artists in other cities. So Common working with Dilla in Detroit makes perfect sense. I mean, there's an underground hip hop connection between Detroit and Chicago that goes back to around the One Day It'll All Make Sense era. And then I think Common too, as a human being, what like a lot of people don't know is like, I'm trying to find a way to say this where I do not come across as a cornball, because I don't, this is not a world that I'm affiliated with in any way, shape or form, but like Common was outside. Like when Common was a young man, he was outside and he was with a lot of people who were doing a lot of different things. So he didn't start off, and like the music he made when he went like the first Can I Borrow a Dollar album, like Com was a roughneck. You know, Com was rocking with the Beatnuts and doing his thing. So like I think Like Water for Chocolate, Common has always kind of been a purist rapper to his core. I think Like Water for Chocolate might have been where he took on more songwriting and musicality in terms of his approach to making music. But I mean, yeah, if I think there was a point in time where if you said Chicago, the only two rappers you could think of would be Twista and Common. And DaBrat too, because she went platinum. But those three names. Yeah. So, and Com also, I think, is just, even if I'm not as big of a fan as some of his later career stuff, like I was listening back to this record and hearing like the little scatting he does, like his little cadences that are informed by what Slum Village were doing.
Mm. A lot of slum on this album, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. And mm-hmm. I, in listening to that, I was like, damn, this is how, because I can freestyle off the top of my head. Like I could do all right. It's nothing world shattering. It's enough for me to not embarrass myself for like 12 to 16 bars. But like the way that I rhyme off the top of my head, there are two people's cadences in my head whenever I'm doing that, Biggie and Common.
Wow.
And at first I used to just think it was Biggie. And then I went back and I listened to this album and I was like, oh, no, it's Common too. Like the way he breaks his words up, the way that there's one syllable here and then, you know, like shifts it. It's.
I'd have to go with Time Traveling.
Yeah. I was a piano player in my last lifetime. Now I write rhymes, sit white wine, and let my light shine. Out of dark space, with the world on my mind like Scarface. Over sex drive is like a car chase. More than a car, it's the peace of mind I chase. Stakes are high, like my uncle is. We both got problems, he never confronted his. Under the bridge, I wrote some shit to stay afloat and paint a picture. Raw like the first tropes in my old man.
I mean, for me, it's the whole song because it really represents what this album is about. So for the first track to be this, it is perfect. It ties everything that I said earlier about the album together for me. Especially when you talk about the different genres that you hear throughout the production. And also like just this history. So like, I think there's one part in the song where Common goes, I used to be a piano player, but now I'm a rapper. So just like talking about the history of like Black musicianship, I just love that.
Yes.
There's one piece in particular. It's about at a minute and 23 seconds. The horn player on this is like going off on a solo right before the beat drops. And it is just divine. It's divine. Like yes. I wish I could mimic it right now. I can't do it. But it is just perfect for me. I listened to it a couple times, like I ran it back. So maybe that's my most rewindable moment too. But yeah, it's just, it's perfect from start to finish for me.
Do you know what? You have touched on that moment. I need to go back. I love a little journey like that in a song that takes you somewhere different. But what you said there is exactly that. Time traveling is this is an artistic statement of an album. The artwork is the part of it. Everything's part of it. This song is the umbilical cord to that neo soul movement, to Fela Kuti, and it's not the normal intro I would get. It was like Dead Prez were maybe doing this for me at this stage late in life, where I was getting things that I did not know that was the influence of this and this, and I did not know who Fela Kuti, a tribute to Fela, I did not really understand Fela at that time. And even then, hearing this, I didn't think to go check out Fela Kuti. It's only 10 years later, when I'm listening to Beast of No Nation, thinking this is the best piece of music I've ever heard in my life, and thinking, oh no, but Common was telling me this 10 years ago, Cam. What's, you know, and I think time traveling works in exactly what it says on the tin. Time traveling, it is exactly that. Def, did you have anything on time traveling that you want to say, or five back moments?
I mean, other than Fela Kuti's son is a guest on that song.
I mean, come on.
Which is amazing. And I mean, that was, for me, again, 10-year-old white kid, suburban Chicago, right? Like I'm listening and learning. I had an interest in hip hop and Black history from a young age. So, but I was still 9-10 years old, so I didn't really know shit. And my father was really into music of all stripes, with the exception of like hip hop and death metal, and probably like radio country music. And so there were names like Femi Kuti where I you know, like, or a tribute to Fela, where I don't know who Fela is. And then years later, as I get older, I get like wider internet access, I'm able to do the research, and Fela Kuti is one of the greatest musicians who's ever lived anywhere. And then it makes the music that much more impactful for me. I love that song too, E. Like, even the way that it begins, the way that it goes. It's also a 6.5 minute intro.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Every second of it matters, which is impressive.
Yeah,
but you got to remember, this is coming from people with so short patience that the intro to Liquid Swords was getting annoying. Where you like, this is 30 seconds, like, get to the, like, I know people annoyed by this 1 minute intro. And I'm like, these guys, that's the don't give a fuck attitude to the Soul Quarians, where they're like, you're either with us or you're not. Like, if you understand this, there are enough of us out here to do this anyway. And you alluded to this earlier, Def, where you were talking about how Chicken Grease was traded. It was for time traveling. And I have that written down here, the actual story. This is brilliant because it has such insight into how D'Angelo thinks. Where so it's mid-99, they're all doing their thing, and then they came up with this lethal jam. It was so good that D'Angelo pulled Quest to the side and said, I ain't no Indian giver, but I ain't letting Cam walk off with this song. He called me three times that morning begging to ask Cam for that track. Common agreed, and we named it Chicken Grease after a phrase that Prince used when he wants his guitarist to play a ninth minor chord while playing 16th notes. Like, you talk about lineage, you talk about inappropriate language as well, like, but you talk about lineage, and I was like, that of the idea of Prince coming into this as well, your sentiment echoes just wildly at the beginning. It's all there, right? It's absolutely all there.
Yeah.
The light is five mics all round for me, because that song helped hip-hop become different.
I never knew a la, 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 a la like this. Gotta be something for me to write this. Queen, I ain't seen you in a minute. Wrote this letter and finally decide to send it. Signed, sealed, delivered for us to grow together. Love has no limit, let's spin a slow forever. I know your heart is weathered by what studs did to you. I ain't gon' start them cause I probably did it too. Because of you feelings I handle with care. Some niggas recognize your life but they can handle the glare. No, I ain't the type to walk around.
And as a person, for me, it didn't do it all on its own, but it was such a big benchmark for you can have human emotion, a rounded human emotion. It can play in a before a gig, you know, when everyone's listening to the boom baps or whatever, this can come on and people will still be like, oh, yeah. And it was an equalizer. It kind of just made everything, I don't know, it just thought Jay Dilla became elite, I think, at this point, where Dilla is going toe to toe with Primo on the same album and winning. I would say some people would say he's winning on that as well. So not if it is, but then even then you think about where this foreshadows. I don't know if you could have had the success of Kanye West without the light paving the way for the mainstream to be like, oh, this is such a mainstream booster for the whole album. And it's so leaning heavy on Bobby Caldwell, you know, that sample of Bobby Caldwell. Maybe it's that makes it so universally loved. But it's little moment, little flourishes. His scatting at the end, you know, when I think he said he was like a placeholder he put in or something, and he's like, I'll do the rhyme later. And then he did like 20 takes. He was like, none of these are as good as just me scatting. And just those little moments and just some real beautiful moments in that song. I had the light right up there for me today. It's timeless, man. That's going to play forever for me. But yeah, I don't know if you guys had anything you wanted to jump on that song.
I love that song so much to this day. It's one of my favorite songs, I would say, ever. I think you're definitely right about how it paved the way for production like Kanye's. And also, I love that it's a love song. Like, this is a love song. And it's a love song that was embraced by everybody. It's not just something that, like, you know, it's not just a song for the ladies. Like, everyone was bumping this. I mean, this is a song that I think holds a special place in everyone's heart. And the way that Common delivered it, and also the production, is just perfect. So I was listening to it in headphones today, and I might have heard this before and maybe not remembered it. But if you listen closely, like, you can hear segments of Open Your Eyes, Bobby Caldwell's song, like playing, like in the, like, it's kind of muffled, but you can hear some of the singing. And that is just incredible to me. Like, that's Dilla amazing. Is just really, like, showed his talent. Like, this is one of the, I think, most, the songs that really showcase Dilla's brilliance, like the way that he put this together. It's just, it's a perfect song for me all around.
If I'm playing one song to my mum from this album, which is a section on these categories, I was looking at the light and I was like, okay, just take the lyrics and just be like, mum, this is one of the most universal love songs. Like, it is just, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I think, just the way, I can't believe that about the sample. I need to go check that sample out again. But yeah, no. And Common does do love songs. And I think this might be his best one, just off the top of the head. Like, there are some good ones, but this might be his best one. What do you think, Def, to The Light?
I don't know if I have anything to add. I think you guys got it perfectly. It's one of the perfect hip-hop love songs. And I think a lot of, I know people who have, like, obviously there are bars in it that are not, like, you know, but that's not the point of the song. The point of the song is not for him to just, like, go off rapping. The point of the song is it's supposed to be a sincere, heartfelt ode to somebody he loves.
Yeah.
And I think that comes across in the delivery. And Tom, I think on this record, the other thing I appreciate too is Tom is starting to imbue his delivery with a bit, although I miss, like, the 1999 com and, like, the, like, in the in the One Day It'll All Make Sense com, where it was just, like, strictly in your face battle raps. I think he's starting to, on this record, find a really cool intersection between conversational language and like technical rapping. And so a song like The Light is a perfect encapsulation of why it's important to be adept at doing both things. He's just talking to you. Wrote this letter, finally decided to send it. Sign, sealed, delivered for us to grow together. Love has no limits. Let's spend a slow forever. Mm-hmm. Like, just like things like that, where it's just like, yo, yeah. How do you not smile when that song comes on?
Yeah.
Right.
Just the way you put that, I did not think that, but that is a very good testing play, isn't it? For his kind of, I can do bridging lots of different styles. Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. You talked about bars, though. I think one of the most slept on, one of the most hard-edged hidden gems in hip-hop for me is Cold-Blooded.
My little daughter started nursery school. Brother Khan, gotta make I move through silence and violence with vibrance. The sign of times with rhyme shit that's timeless. Mind is a terrible thing to spill. Rap life's like a dream that seems surreal. A nigga wake up, superstar, with no acres out. Traveling the world to see papers as paper. Streets take ya back and forth like a shaker. I'm a slave to the rhythms breaking off. I get the job done, but some days
I love Cold-Blooded, right? I get like this screw face. Like, soon as you hear that beat unfold, you can't not get the screw face. And you're like, what is going on here with this beat? The horns, Ray Hargrove, big up. Them horns are incredible. It has this lo-fi messiness to it, where it's almost like this sloppy funk. It's like sloppily funky. It's really weird. And I love how it gives the whole album another dimension, because there are clear moments of experimentation on this whole album. This one just stands out because Com is so in the pocket as well. He is so in the pocket, but the beat is just weirder than the others for me. And their opening verse on this might be my five mic moment, because you have the beat and the melodious way he raps that. It is that Mos Def. I've talked about how Matt Comey is kind of a descendant of all that as well. But Common is a true great. If you listen to the way he almost sings songs, that bit, that is a five back moment for me. It's absolutely incredible. And then it whole, what's he say here? Which, oh my God, this verse is ridiculous. Where he says, rap life's like a dream that seems for real. It ends, wake up, superstar with no acres after traveling the world to see papers, just paper. And you're like, man, sometimes it takes you 20 years to get to that stage in your life where you realize paper's just paper, man. But he's talking about it like now, where he's learned a lot. And there is an excellent, excellent dad rap line here I have. And I think anyone who has dad rap lines, please let me know, because dad rap, I'm always here for it. But he says here where it says, blah, 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 let's have a look. Oh, no, this is so good. So I rhyme when my back hurts, which is great. Like, so I rhyme when my back hurts, play the numbers with my grandmother like Kraftwerk. And I thought, yeah, that some people time, so your back does really hurt and you still rhyme, fair play to you. But then he just goes off where he's like, rocket like patch, work fast, I've been to see it. Oh my God, that flow is unreal. So yeah, no, it's an actual outrage, that verse. I need to go into that at some point. But yeah, no, he raps about henna. There's a, like, as an Indian guy, you know, no one talks about henna in 2000 hip hop. You know, no one's referencing Indian stuff. And he's like, he's rapping about henna. And I was like, wow, you really are rejecting that whole backpack kind of rap. Well, actually, even the abstract stuff. I think he goes into like how he talks about how, bragging about how they don't eat meat and be abstract. He starts having a go at people who, you know, are vegetarian and, you know, they think they're abstract and all this. And I was like, it's funny because some people would put Common, not the abstract rhyming, but he kind of is around the circles of the native tongues, if you know what I mean. But yeah, no, I don't know if anyone had any words on Cold-Blooded, but I had to talk about that, man.
Yeah, definitely one of the best tracks on this album. If anybody has questioned Common's like abilities as an MC, you need to go listen to this because it's undeniable here. And the bar when he's in, I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this. I have it written down because I definitely don't have it memorized, but I'm in to win, but then begin to send. We're in to win with hens and Heinekens. Bees for each and greet the meek with speech to seek and peek because peak shit gets deep.
That's what I'm talking about. What is that about, man? Like forget it.
Yeah, killed it.
Hens and Heinekens. Come on. That's a great album name. Someone out there, make a Hens and Heinekens album, please.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Thurston Howell the Third. I think I'm going to throw that live to Thurston Howell the Third. Hens and Heinekens is definitely a Thurston Howell the Third album.
Oh, I love that.
I can see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to Thurston. I love that dude.
So there you go. Go cop that full episode, patreon.com/crate808, as well as this next one that's coming up. And both of these are in the show notes. Just scroll down and you'll find them there next to all the other rap goodness we have made for you. So here we go. We have our resident boom bap crusader, Ray Ridge, and Free Music Empire's Dan O bringing some excellent perspectives on Deltron's ingenious space odyssey. So I'll kick it off then with our usual question then. We all know what Crate 808 is by now. We have this little Hall of Fame. Can these records get into Crate 808? What is your argument for getting them in to Crate 808? If someone brings Deltron 3030 to the table, Ray, is it getting to Crate 808 for you?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what? There was a slight bit of hesitation because Ray's hard to please. And I was like, yeah, is it going to get in there or not? Ray's a yes. Dan?
I think Ray's reaction is the proper reaction. Like, even the hesitation, right? Because, so the argument against it is that this is one of the longest albums that I can think of.
It's impossibly long.
And now there's a bonus edition that's even longer with bonus tracks that are virtually useless. But
it's 60 minutes long.
The argument for this being in the Crate 808 Hall of Fame is very simple, and it is try and match the first seven songs. Try and match how good these first seven songs are. Mm-hmm. Good luck to you, right? You're going to have to go like 36 chambers. Like, this is that the first seven songs of this album are powerful.
Mm. Are you counting skits?
I was counting the skits. I think all through Virus, I think it would be where I would call the end of that run.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Upgrade, Mastermind off the back of that, oof, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is, I'm going to put that out to the listeners. Anyone listening out there, crate808@gmail.com, your top seven, your first seven run in an hip hop album. What is the strongest seven? There you go. Strongest seven. New category for us. I'll make the t-shirts.
#strongest7.
#strongest7. We'll get that trending afterwards. And I'll make up the
Madness, t-shirt. Madness and Love Story are up there as well for me as well. Like
we're going to talk about Love Story. A Love Story is great. But yeah, Madness off the end of Mastermind. It's just Upgrade in the middle there, which I don't mind. I actually don't mind it now, to be fair. But back then, I did skip it back in the day. But so let's look at this top first seven. Ray, you're saying this is going into the creator as well, but this is a strong seven. If I'm not counting the skits, you've got 30-30. What an opener. A seven and a half minute opus to open up. Like, if you want a I don't really give a shit what you think attitude, that's it, isn't it?
Yo, it's 3030. I want y'all to meet Deltron Zero Hero. Not no small feat. It's all heat in this day and age. I rage a grave. Anything it takes to save the day. Neuromancer. Perfect blend of technology and magic. Use my rapping so you all can see the hazards. Plus entertainment where many are brainless. We cultivated a lost art of study and I brought a buddy. Automator, harder slayer, fascinating combination. Cyber warlords are activating abominations. Armination
weapon. World building, and if you're with me,
but it, world building is the phrase as well, isn't it? Because it really sets the tone for the whole album, and it's 100%. Always it also has a moment of there's just general moments of bureaucracy, standing in a queue, trying to get. Does he have to pay to get in somewhere? We got to pay to get in. Oh, can we just blag it? Oh no! All right. Well, we'll pay.
In a planetary adversary's battling for supremacy, sounds like a good way to build up my infamy. Soon as Automator sent for me, we headed over to receive our registration forms from the Galactic Embassy.
Yes, may I help you?
Remember me? To escape a global panic, we had to intercede.
Oh, you're here for the battle forms?
Yeah. Can we get them for free?
I'm afraid not. You'll have to pay the entry.
It was worth a try when we first arrived on Mercury. Gravity adjustment was a must hit. Step up,
you know, those little things that are just, that's those, it's relates to the real human experience of life, isn't it? Everyone queues up for, you know, their coffee in the morning, whatever,
like
it might be.
Brazil in that way.
Yeah, very much like Brazil. Yes, that's a great shout, Dan. Brazil and Deltron 3030 as a, we have a further list. We have a double feature. I've got a book to go with double feature. You had that works. Now I'm sorry if I can't vocalize this very well. But I'm just thinking of Brazil and Delta. They are very similar in that way. In that way, yeah, great idea.
I wanted to add a few narratives to this, like that I think are a part of this album. Right, if you say Deltron 3030, what is the first thing you think of? My first two words are revenge album, right? This is a Dan the Automator revenge album, because after Dr. Octagon, it is well noted, Cool Keith spent the rest of his life saying mean things about Dan the Automator.
He did.
Because it's almost like when a team wins the title and the coach gets all the credit. Like, Dan the Automator got a shitload of credit on Dr. Octagon, and Keith did not like that. And they kind of had a public feud, right? I remember Dan the Automator, when they were like, Keith says he did everything, and he's like, well, listen to Cool Keith's album after Dr. Octagon, Dr. Doom. That shit is whack, you know, like, and so they went back and forth for a while. This is Dan the Automator proving that he's not a fluke, right?
Yeah.
To everyone. This is him being like, fuck that. You know, I don't need Cool Keith in order to be good at this. And this is one of the best produced albums in hip hop, I think.
Yeah.
And so that narrative, that's one of the narratives.
To the next one, because I just had something to attach to that, the actual production on this, I just wanted to point this out. Just, you say he went and changed it and evolved and showed, I can still do this. Isn't it nice as a producer, I'm guessing it was him who did all the beats on this, to do this, the decision to channel the future. We're talking about the future, it's 3030. Let's channel it, not through synths and artificial music and like robot sounding shit. Let's channel it through dustier grooves, orchestral grooves. It's not artificial. Even at one point, there's a texture to this album that it's almost like practical effects in horror films. Like, if you watched Bone Tomahawk again the other day, and I was like, the practical effects in this is what makes it so amazing. And there's one point he uses a fucking harpsichord. And I was like, hold on. We've gone to fucking Salieri times. This is what we do. We go back to them. And then we're soundtracking the future with all of this equipment that we've had in the past of our human history. I just thought that decision as a producer was amazing. But Dan, your second narrative, please, my friend.
Narrative is, this is one of the first albums I can remember, because I wasn't always aware of the underground as a real thing, right? I, you know, back in the day when we were growing up in the 90s, it was hip hop and that was what we knew. But this is one of the first times I can remember the underground being the clear source of innovation, because you know, the biggest songs in 2000 are like In the Club, right? It's like Nelly, you know?
Yeah.
Biggie and Pac died. And like, you know, it was the early 2000s got pretty rough. We got into Young Jock territory later on. But
it was the DMXs, wasn't it? Rough Riders time.
Right. DMX was definitely innovative. And Missy Elliott deserves credit.
Of course, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
But in the pop sphere, it was very, it got generic, right? And this was something so unique and so new, because I was thinking of the first time I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, right? I turned to my wife and said, do you know how fucking well done this is? Because we've just been to three planets in 20 minutes and the audience isn't confused.
Yeah.
That's impossible to do, right? To a general audience. It's like that with this album, right? Because think about the albums that Ray fucking hates. They're fancy albums that are charmless, right? That are 0% Screwface energy, right? This is an album that is fancy as fuck, right? But Screwface energy to the max. It has both worlds.
Yeah, it does. Again, that's the production and the idea of a battle MC doing this. This isn't, you know, I'm not saying he is growing into this brilliant artist we had, but he had a decade before this where it was not that. Mr. Dobolina, you know, kind of notwithstanding, that was a bit different, but he was a different person then. But no, I just thought that just the way you're constructing this. And do you know what? Sometimes, even when you hear this, it's not like I can follow it. I can't, like, there's not a massive substance to the concept apart from his messaging. I don't know where, it's not like so intricate where, you know the outlay, like he's talking about how it looks. It's left to my imagination to do that. What he has is the language and the vocabulary and the verbosity just to kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to throw all this shit in the mix. And at one point it does sound very space techie. Like, does this mean anything? I think the second album they brought out was more like that for me. Whereas like, I don't know if this is, there's a lot of,
but yes, I mean,
words, but I don't know if he's saying anything.
I think there is deceptively, there's like more thought put into it than, I don't know, it might initially come across. So tunes like Turbulence, the beat is turbulent. It's like basically, you know, the Rick and Morty intro kind of, that's what I'm imaging in, that's what in my head. Mm. But, like his rhyming is turbulent.
Yeah.
Like he's got some amazing rhymes across it where he rhymes where the rhyme should be. Mm. Whereas Turbulence, the rhyme is never where it should be. And I was listening to Turbulence going like, why isn't he fucking rhyming it? And then afterwards, it's like, what track is this? Oh, it's called Turbulence. Oh, the beat's turbulent.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's turbulent.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all turbulent. And I was like, there's levels to this.
It's 30-30. Yo, I get my hands dirty. They think they the pure breed, medically insured weed. Fuck the system, non-conformist humans walk around because of their ordinance, just ornaments. Super thugs use computer bugs, all ignoramus is reduced to savage half-beast off a crack piece. Not me, I'm shit-faced, which way but loose, in a hovercraft, not no bubble bath, turbo boost. Fuck Earth, I wanna live on Mars, so I'm closer to the stars and farther away from dumb civilization with no mental...
And it was a kind of slap in my face, because, you know, I'm always like, no, the rhyme must be where I say the rhyme should be. And if it's not there, I don't like it. But this is,
I love how he switches it on this. Like he'll break up halfway. I'll break up a sentence halfway through and shit. Love that. But we'll go into some of the categories then, so we can talk about some of these songs then. Just one bit of context. I just wanted to ask you guys, wondering where you were with this. This album came out in 2000. The Matrix was at, how much do you reckon The Matrix? I was just thinking to myself, like, I wonder if they'd have made this if they hadn't watched The Matrix. Like, The Matrix was fucking huge at that time. And I was just thinking to myself, I bet Del was on a, like, he loves his smoking. I bet he was on a right old trip, watched The Matrix and thought, fuck it, I'm doing my version of this and putting hip-hop at the center of it.
Five mic moments.
So
mine's not really a five mic moment. It's more the prophecy of Virus. And, you know, there's stuff that's spoken about in Virus. Bearing in mind, we've just come out of a virus, more or less.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, this whole thing of this prophecy of him talking about, and maybe it is predictable. Maybe we're all subtly succumb to the idea of, you know, it's just part of life. Corrupt politicians, people looting the stores, global apartheid. What is it? Last punks walk around like masked monks.
Yeah,
we're all masked.
But yeah.
Whether you want to admit to it or not. And human rights coming at 100 faith, mass production.
Terminals, burn them all, slaves of silicon, corrupt politicians with leaders and their keywords. FBI and spies stealing bombs, dissipate their plans in their face and catch the fever. Everybody loot the stores, get your canned goods, even space stations are having a hard time. Peacekeepers seek to take our manhood, which results in the form of global apartheid. Ghettos are trash dumps with gas pumps, exploded and burnt out since before the Great Union. The last punks walk around like mass monks, ready to manipulate the database or break through them. Human rights come in 100th place. Mass production has always been number one. New Earth
has become mass production has always been number one. Like it's basically, I don't know. Look, I'm not going to say that.
Shit though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because this is coming out in 2000, isn't it? So it is the fact that Dell's put this on a track. It's just interesting thinking about it, what it means for just humanity and the fact that, like, are we saying Dell is a prophet and saw all this coming, or is it all just, that's just accepted, inevitable, predictable parts of human life? Is that, is there a pandemic? Oh, well, there's got corruption's coming. That's it. That's just there's no scenario where one of those pandemic, something like that happens that affects the whole world. There's no scenario where there's no corruption.
Yeah.
There's no scenario. It's like, exactly. Okay, well, politicians are going to make money off this somehow.
Yeah, of course.
And we're going to be oppressed somehow. And let's just see how that impression manifests itself. Brilliant. This is good. It's just strange. You know, growing up, realizing, this is how the world works. Ah, okay, right. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll just pay my taxes.
That defeatist fucking attitude. Mate, I feel you. Absolutely feel you.
I think Virus is the best written song on here.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
It's to me, it's one of the moments where he truly grounds you in a place, in a situation. The way I think of it, Ray, because I was like, my parents are from the Bay Area and they showed me all kinds of weird shit as a kid. My dad grew up the Black Panthers and shit. And like, oh, yeah. I grew up watching Dog Day Afternoon as a kid.
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
Oh, God, I was going to kill him.
Attica! 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 Attica!
Yeah, like, God,
I was watching Dog Day Afternoon.
Attica!
Attica!
When I walked in, my friends were watching in high school. I'm like, this old thing? Oh, yeah. I watched this when I was a kid. And so this is, Virus is almost like the tech version of Dog Day Afternoon.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's got the oppression. Yeah. It's got the fight back. It's got the environment you're in. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yep. This is the thing about, so we talk about Virus. It is a fine mic song for me. And I don't take that, like, that's quite a long time to get in there, I feel like. You said it there on the beginning of what you just said there, Dan. It's a sublime execution of the concept, as in this whole album is littered with great execution. It really is, because that's why it's a classic. But this one, to stand out in front of all of them, is a lot. So it does that. It literally sounds like, right, this beat is if Mobb Deep went to space, met Cool Keith on the way as a hitchhiker, yeah? And they were like, should we make some really menacing, throbbing, like, this is really, and just dark hip-hop for a bit. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. It's like Mobb went to space. It is, and I know we keep talking about Prodigy and Mobb Deep in this situation, but it's a really good polar opposite to compare this album to. And you then put you cannot sleep on the lava that is coming out of Dal's mouth. I'm sorry, but it's ridiculous. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. But it's the way he almost sways and melodically, not sings it, but he's giving it a bit of oomph. He's giving it a bit of flavor on it. He's throwing a bit of hot sauce on there. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just giving it a little bit of like, oh yeah, let's do that. And then to use a trash your computer system line, reverse you to Papyrus. Papyrus? Yeah. Yeah. Who the fuck is using Papyrus in hip hop? Like, Dell is built different.
Think about revert, not just revert you to paper, revert you to Papyrus, that far back, that much of a societal reset, you know, that kind of thing. And then, you know, especially as well, it seems relevant today in the world of who knows what's happening with, you know, OpenAI and the board members ousting the guy that set it up, and they're like, now he's back, and now all these things that are happening, like, who knows what's happening with AI? You know, there's talk about the reason, you know, Sam Altman got chucked out because there was talk of him, like, I found, general intelligence? There's a thing, is that there's AI and then there's general intelligence, which is the next level above, where basically Skynet and we're all dead, right? Mm-hmm. So there's already two massive wars happening. We're on the brink of World War III. Skynet's about to take over. And now we're listening to Deltron 33.
It's coalescing.
And the thing about Dell, at his best, he gives you everything you need, right? Like, the word choice of Papyrus is incredible, but I love the way he delivers it.
Yes.
You know, like, revert you to Papyrus.
It's Papyrus. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Melody in it. Like, he there's so much bounce in his delivery.
That's what's the funk, though. I think it was, can't remember who it was. Yes, it was on Passion of the Wise. Whoever reviewed this, I remember reading that review for the research for this, just to see what people thought of it nowadays. And someone did put that. They were like, this is just funk and idioms. The whole album is funk and idiom. And I was like, yeah, the funny thing is, you can't ever take the funk out of Dell and Dell out of the, like, it's always going to be twinned. So he naturally will express himself in a more George Clinton Parliament way, because that's just, the bounce is in him, you know? The bounce is within you. What was that?
Right.
Yeah, no. That's it. So and also there's a tattoo. There's a little, if you were, crises precipitate change, like you just talked about it there, Ray. They literally do. To put it into them words, I remember that is just a tattoo right there. People will be putting that on the backs, definitely. I actually had this one for you. A hidden gem, because not a lot of people talk about this. Hidden gem category. But verging into five mic moment now, looking at it. Because I think we talked about how 30-30 sets it all off. But Madness. Madness is a bit of a centerpiece to this album. Everybody wanna tell you the meaning of music, yo. I must appeal to you people with your faculties, because everybody else is gonna laugh at me.
So try to get over and take a crack at me. The universe is one, I see what rap can be. Glorious, put in the Smithsonian on podiums for holy hymns. But you see who's controlling them. Fuck myself off, cause of the egotistical mode I'm in. No, I can't slap you no five when you and your cutty is talking shit about me outside. People take pride in what they have no hand in. Sorta like a phantom.
I love that beat.
Oh yeah, that God. Beat is incredible. It's Del delving deep. This is him looking for insight. There's some great insight on this album, just about who he is. It's such a sleeper hit because he's aching to say something more significant than your usual shit, I find, on Madness. Mm-hmm. And the way he rides that groove is, obviously, we talked about it before, incredible, superb use of an orchestral sample again. And then you have this, what's he saying now about hip-hop? He puts hip-hop on such a huge high pedestal. And he says, the universe is one, I can see what rap be glorious. Put in the Smithsonian, my podiums for holy hymns. Like, putting hip-hop in the Smithsonian in 2000. Fucking right. Yes. But you can see who's controlling them. Fuck myself off because the egotistical mode I'm in. Fucking amazing. Fuck myself off because of the egotistical mode I'm in. Like, the layers to that. Like, I'm fucking myself off. Don't worry about it. Just that and the sub. That is the song with so much subtext on. His music's getting hollow. People are trapped in a bottle. All that kind of stuff about selling. What does it say? Sell your Marlboros and your car insurance. That's it. Put people on the moon but can't pay for your burdens. I spoke Herb with a turban. Like, come on. This guy, he's talking about something deeper than just the concept.
Yeah.
And that's what makes
it sound. But also, it's not just about the lyrics. It's the whole how the tune is produced and put together, how it breaks down, like the beat, it breaks for the chorus loop. Ooh. And then it's got scratches, and then it breaks, and the verses come back in a cappella.
Yes.
And then the beat drops behind it. You know, so it's just the build up of the arrangement was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
How the arrangement of it is like just expert level kind of production.
It's
100%.
Just beautiful.
Absolutely.